your chance of dying in a bathtub is about 1 in a million. Mm-hmm. And so terrorism is 1 in 3.5 million.
Hi, I'm Nick Gillespie with Reason TV, and today we're talking with John Mueller and Mark G. Stewart, authors of Terror, Security, and Money, Balancing the Risks, Benefits, and Costs of Homeland Security. Mark, John, thanks for talking to us.
Pleasure.
In your book, you estimate that the U.S. has spent about $1 trillion in enhanced Homeland Security expenditure since 2002. What has that money bought?
Most of the money has gone in federal expenditures, and particularly with terms of aviation security, which has probably totaled more than about $80 to $90 billion in expenditure in
and
the last
so
10
that
years.
Is the machines for TSA, scanning
machines.
Yeah,
scanners and the personnel and all that sort of stuff. And even air marshals, there's something like 3,000 to 4,000 air marshals. They cost more than $1 billion per year.
Right.
So that's serious money.
Now, in the book, your cost-benefit analysis says that we're not getting what we pay for. Why aren't we? And is there anything that we could do that would give us what we're paying for?
Yeah, it's not clear that we need these enhanced security expenditures and possibly go back even to 9/11 type expenditures, potentially. But the main issue in the book is to apply standard cost-benefit analyses to these expenditures, the same way DHS does for natural hazards. So the idea basically is to apply these to terrorism, and DHS simply hasn't done so.
So, I mean, the DHS will say, okay, what would an earthquake or a volcano erupting cost?
What's the likelihood it would happen? What would be the cost? What if we do this measure, like build earthquake shelters, how much will we reduce the risk and how much will it cost to
and
build it?
And they don't do that with terrorism.
Yeah, it's very simple. It's basically, if you're going to put in air marshals, you know how much they cost. And you could try to estimate the likelihood that they'll actually prevent an attack, how much they'll reduce the risk, and the probability that they'll build an attack and how bad the attack will be.
It's a fairly simple calculation
to determine whether it's cost effective or not.
Why don't they do that?
There may be politics, it may be just the hysteria after 9/11, in which they're really anticipating to be multiple 9/11s, and there are thousands of Al-Qaeda operatives loose, and that just carried over. And so if you do this analysis now, frequently what happens is you come to the conclusion that we've misspent, at any rate, huge amounts of money.
But how do you rebut the argument that the reason we haven't had 1 million Mogadishus or, 1,000 9/11s is precisely because of the money that we spent?
Yeah, well, there's a pretty good, straightforward way of doing it. What you do is you try to calculate how many attacks, using standard analyses again, the same, we're not doing anything fancy or new, how many attacks would have to have been deterred, prevented, disrupted, or protected against to justify these kinds of expenditures using standard approaches.
And what do you find?
It comes out to be that you'd have to prevent four Times Square type attacks every single day.
And Times Square attacks, you mean the failed Times Square attacks?
If it had been successful, show that you demonstrate that you disrupted or deterred or prevented or protected against for more than four attacks per day.
Do we know how many DHS is claiming to have prevented, or the government?
They frequently bring up certain mysterious things about people who have gotten away. We know how many people have arrested, and there's maybe 30 or 40 cases, depending on how you sort them out. And I've been through these, and most of these would never in a million years have been capable of killing very many people. These are potentially dangerous people, but they're not likely to be even on the level of what the Times Square bomber would have done.
Why does government, and why does the public for that matter, why do we always overestimate risk from terrorist activity?
A lot of the potential costs and losses of terrorism is due to overreaction, where there's a lot of indirect issues, where people are afraid to fly, then they may actually start driving a car to destinations, which is a lot more dangerous than actual flying.
It's also that people don't really know what the risk is. I mean, the chance, using reasonable analyses, your chance of being killed if you're an American by a terrorist of any sort, Muslim or not, is about 1 in 3.5 million per year. And so the key issue is that's where you start. Okay, right. The chances now are 1 in 3.5 million per year. That sounds pretty safe. Do you really want to spend a lot more money to make it lower?
Mark, you're an Australian academic. Australia has not had the same level of attack on its own territory, but obviously Australians were one of the main targets in various overseas bombings. Is the same type of activity going on in Australia as well?
Yes, there's a lot of concern about Homeland Security, and spending has gone up a lot in Australia too. But in Australia and the UK and Canada, spending has gone up by about half as much as in the US on a per capita or per GDP basis.
And is that because you're only worth half as much?
But now they claim they're worth more.
That's right. It's just a weak dollar, right? Yeah. John, what are some of the things that actually might be done to reduce threats to national security, terrorist threats? I mean, if TSA, if air marshals, if things like that are not effective, what are cost-effective remedies?
Well, it's a question of acceptable risk. If the threat now, if it's a threat, do you even want to call it a threat if your chance of being killed by something is 1 in 3.5 million per year?
Yeah, and what is that like compared to,
your chance of being killed by a homicide, a victim of a homicide, which is the same sort of thing.
Right.
Some, you know, there's no benefit, it's all just cost, unlike it is maybe 1 in 22,000. Mm-hmm. Your chance of dying in a bathtub is about 1 in a million. Mm-hmm. And so terrorism is 1 in 3.5 million. Dying of cancer is about 1 in 500 per year. Automobiles about 1 in 8,000 a year.
So what are the things that we might do to do? I mean, are there easy fixes? For instance, after 9/11, a lot of people said merely barricading cockpit doors essentially ruled out the possibility of another 9/11 flight for a few hundred bucks per plane.
Yeah, well, it's more than that.
Are there simple fixes like that, or is that just simply the wrong
question? Well, the simplest fix is, in that case, is obviously passenger resistance, which comes very cheap, namely zero cost.
Yeah.
But our key issue in this is that all these measures should be evaluated. Mm-hmm. Some of them may be really quite good and quite cost effective. Cockpit doors are probably one of them. But others are very wasteful, and some are in between.
Well, I want to thank Mark Stewart and John Mueller, authors of Terror, Security, and Money, Balancing Risk, Benefits, and Costs of Homeland Security, for talking to Reason TV today. Gentlemen, thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for having us.
I'm Nick Gillespie.